Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
The Word of God is a lamp and a light to our feet and to our path. And the reason God's Word is a lamp, girls, is because we are surrounded with darkness. And the world is just becoming darker and darker, it would seem. There's so much hatred in the world. There's so much crime. Wouldn't you agree? And, you know, we need the Word of God to bring clarity and to help us. So, point number one, there seems to be no clarity in this world. People are confused. What is right and what is wrong anymore? Have you noticed that? And that is where the Word of God brings light and life. There is a great confusion, number two, in people's minds as well. It's a similar thing. They don't have clarity, but they're also confused. These days, you have to be politically correct. And that leaves you in the dark completely, because I better not say this, or I better not step out and open my mouth here, because I'll get into trouble. Are we living on the same planet? Right? So we see that there's a darkness that has descended upon us on the earth, and the ruler of the darkness of this world has blinded us until God comes and he shines his light and into our hearts and into our lives. Colossians 1:13, it says, "For he has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son." You know, the moment we open our hearts to the Lord and we hand our lives over to him, he rescues us, hey? And he takes us from darkness into light. In Psalms 40, it reads, "He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out from the bog and mire, and set my feet on a path, on a hard, firm path, and steadied me as I walked along." You know, and I was thinking about this verse, and I thought, maybe you don't feel that way. You don't feel, well, I wasn't that bad. You know, I was bad before I came to know the Lord, but I wasn't actually that bad. Well, the problem is, the Word tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So no matter how we view how good or bad we were all bad. We've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of our God. But we now know that when we hand over the keys of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes us out of the bog, out of the mire, and he puts us on a firm path on which we can walk. Amen? So tonight's title is "Keep Your Eyes on the Road." How many times have you told your husband that in the car? Keep your eyes on the road. Otherwise, we veer off and we go into a ditch, we fall over a cliff, who knows, amen? You know, in today's world, we have GPS. Thank you, Jesus, for GPS. Because in my husband's absence, I have to tell you, without that, we are doomed. We are lost. Weddings, funerals, people's homes. Without it, we will not get there. And if, when we get there, most people are already putting their knives and forks down, okay? So, with the GPS, we can be instructed where to go and have a sense of peace. Hey, yeah, we know, we're on our way. So we're gonna get there, we're gonna turn, and we're gonna get to our destination. No, I was at a conference many years ago. I think it may have been about 10 years ago. I went to a conference and I was afforded a personal driver who fetched me from the airport but was also going to take me back to the airport so that I can fly back home. But this particular morning, it was a Sunday too, which I don't understand, you know, because the roads are never really, really busy on a Sunday early in the morning. But this driver, bless him, I've forgiven him. He decided he was going to take some shortcuts to get me there. And because he lived in the city, I thought, well, I trusted him. But the problem was he got horribly, horribly lost. We ended up in a few dead-end streets. We ended up making U-turns. We ended up getting to the airport when the gates were already closed. You should have seen your pastor at this particular airport. But my point just is, had there been at the time a GPS, life would have been a breeze on that particular day. It's wounded me and scarred me so badly I've never forgotten about it. You know what I also learned? There are no shortcuts. And not all roads lead to the airport. Seriously. So do you know what GPS stands for? It stands for Global Positioning System. And our first point tonight is the Bible is God's GPS. But God's GPS stands for God's positioning system. You see, because God has placed us on a road that does not lead to death or lead to any dead ends. He has put us on a road that leads to life. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, it leads to death. So I have a illustration for you right now. So we're going to dim the lights, and we're going to watch, and then we'll carry on.
The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. My word is a lamp for your feet and a light for your path. By my words, you can see where you're going. They throw a beam of light on your path. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. I am a shield to those who walk with integrity. I guide the paths of the just and protect those who are faithful to me. I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path, and then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. Trust me from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen to my voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. I am the one who will keep you on track. I'm writing out clear directions on wisdom's way. I'm drawing a map to the righteous road. I don't want you ending up in blind alleys or wasting time making wrong turns. Hold tight to my word. Don't relax your grip. Guard it well. Your life is at stake. Don't take the wicked bypass. Don't so much as set foot on that road. It's a school of hard knocks for those who leave my path. A dead-end street for those who hate my word. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. Join the company of good women. Keep your feet on the tried and true path, for I, God, am your light and your protector. I give you grace and glory. No good thing will I withhold from you who walk along my path.
How beautiful. Amen. But it's to illustrate a point, and I trust that you won't forget that illustration. So when we are trying to find our way through the journey of life, God has given us a spiritual compass or GPS to guide our path. That guide is the Bible, God's holy word. And the truth that we find in the Bible never changes. You know, in today's world, people trying to bend what God has said, but we can't. We can't remove not a comma or a full stop from God's word, because it's not our word. It's God's word, amen? And his word will always point us in the same direction. It will always point us to Jesus, who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. Now, tonight with me, I discovered where this Bible was. It was lying in my storeroom. This is my first ever Bible, and it's falling apart. And you know, they say a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not falling apart. And this Bible was actually Pastor Andre's, and it's a hand-me-down Bible. It's a King James Version, and this was given to me in 1974, the same year that we gave our hearts to the Lord. And I looked through it, and it's full of little notes and Bible studies and everything. And then, although I don't use this Bible anymore, when I go through my notes and little things that I've written down and people's names, it takes me back. But actually, I'm more interested in my brand new Bible that I just bought from the resource center the other day. And I just love it because, you know, I can start messing it up all over again. I can start scratching and highlighting and make my own new notes. And I just want to encourage you, as I've said to our girls so many, many, many times, for me, buying a Bible is like buying shoes. I get so excited. I smell it. I love it. I start reading it. It's not normal because it's not natural. It is supernatural. Amen? And so I love the Word of God. God gave me his word as a light. This is what you need to say to yourself. You know, on this path, God gave me a word as a light to direct me in all my doubts and difficulties and to comfort me in all my fears and distresses. The light will help me see obstacles or traps. The light will help me navigate and overcome temptation, shame, and weakness. Do not underestimate the power of the word of God. Amen? Do not underestimate the words. And to say, well, you know, you listen to people who talk and they say, oh, it's such an old book. And you know what? How can the Word of God actually help you? Well, His Word is life. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? And it can cut through nonsense and arguments if you use it correctly. Not banging people over the head, but if you use it, if you rightly divide, the Bible says, the word of truth. We've got to find out this word of truth, put it inside our hearts and our souls and spirits. And when people talk to us, let's just say, well, you know, we don't want to argue, but we also don't want to just keep quiet and listen to them talk as if they know the oracles of God when they don't. We want to use this word, and we want to make sure that we rightly divide the word of truth. When people quote things incorrectly and they say, oh, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, money. Money is the root of all evil. Did you know that? Actually, no, it doesn't actually say that. It can't possibly say that. The love of money. Amen? Because why? Money is a god. Money is mammon. And people worship money. But you know what? Money in the hands of a righteous person can buy sanitary towels for a young girl, or two or three if you want to, every single month. Money in the hands of a righteous husband will make sure there's always food on the table, will make sure that the rent or the bond's always paid. Money in the hand of a compassionate person will make sure that someone in need is helped. Money in the hand of an unrighteous person or an evil person will spend that money on things that will not glorify God. Amen? And so that's what people say. They say, I'm quoting to you scriptures that are not in the Bible right now. They say things that are not in the Word of God. So number two, on this road, there are traps and detours. And that is what we heard in the illustration. God will help us, and He will give us discernment, and He will make sure that if something doesn't have a ring about it that's right, that we just stop in our tracks and say, I can't do this deal. This is too risky. And, you know, we are all about taking risks, aren't we? We're all about, you know, faith. We're faith people. We want to take risks in business. But somehow, if there's a check in your spirit, that's the Holy Spirit you've got to thank God for. On this road, there will be traps and detours. It says in verse 110 to 112, the wicked have set their traps for me along your path, but I will not turn aside. Your laws are my joyous treasure forever. I am determined to obey you until I die. Are those your words tonight? I'm determined to obey you until I die. Amen? And so, where's all the single ladies? All the single ladies. And not only just the single ladies. You know how the enemy works on this path? He'll make sure he plants a tall, dark, handsome bloke on our path. Or if you like, a tall, blue-eyed, blonde oak on the road, on your path, just to distract you. And you know what? It's never been God's plan for him to be part of your world or your life. So watch out. You know, come with these Versace smelling, beautiful, firm, pumping, muscle arms. You see, those are the traps, and they do exist. And I'm not just talking to the single girls, because the married girls, we are not perfect. We must be careful, right? Especially when you're not being paid that much attention, and then someone comes and they, oh my gosh, what was that? I know that smell. No, my husband wore that 10 years ago. What does he use now? Sunlight soap on his body? I don't know. And then this guy comes and he hangs around and he looks in your eyes. No, 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 no. It's a trap. It will take you off course, right? We've got to fight these temptations. The Word of God helps us to do that. Amen? And then, I speak from experience. And then 10 years later, you say to yourself, what was wrong with you? Are you mad or something? Look at that person. And you got all gaga there for a moment or two. It's not worth it. Amen? I hope I'm helping someone here this evening. Amen? So, then next, traps to make you depart from the journey. So there are traps and detours, and we read that in Psalm 119, but there are also traps to make you depart from the journey. When people start talking in your ear about, but have you read The Secret, and have you read the Quran, and have you read this, and have you read, and you know, I met someone, and you listen to these people long enough, that's the enemy's plan to throw you off course. So in Galatians 5, verses 7 to 10, it says so beautifully in the Message Bible, you were running superbly. Who cut in on you, deflecting you from the course, the true course of obedience? This detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place. And please don't toss this off as insignificant. How cool is that? It takes only a minute amount of yeast, you know, to permeate an entire loaf of bread. Deep down, the Master has given me confidence that you will not defect. You know when people defect? It says, but the one who is upsetting you, whoever he is, will bear the divine judgment. You see, people don't get away with trying to throw us off course. And they will get a judgment according to the Word of God. So don't let people get you to defect, get you off course, get you to stop coming to services. Sisters, connect group, whatever it is that is keeping you on track, make sure you are plugged in, you are sitting at the Master's feet, you are sitting under the Word of God. And let's be fair, you know, they say 98% of people don't read the Word of God. And this is about 20 years ago that this was a statistic. So I don't know now. And therefore, sometimes when people don't feel condemned, when they come to church, it's the only word they will hear. And it's at least the word they will hear, for which I'm grateful. You know, people talk about the young people and, you know, oh, there they are jumping up and down with their tattoos and their torn jeans. And I'm like, thank God they're in God's house. Amen? Don't get all Pharisaical and religious on us at Rivers Church or in God's house. Say to yourself, man, I shouldn't even open my mouth. Even if I look at that and I say, it's not my thing, but you know what? Each one to their own. Say this to yourself. Those kids could be on the street corner selling and peddling drugs. Amen? So let's be grateful to God for every single person who comes through God's house, the doors of the house, to come in, to come to the altar, to sit under the word. But can I encourage you, as God's beautiful girls, to get into the word? Do not neglect the reading of the word of God. It empowers you. It lights the way. It helps you answer questions that you may have, and other people's, by the way. So very, very important. And then traps are there also to harm and to hurt you. Watch out for those traps to violate you. How do you think people get involved in, you know, Pastor Andre mentioned this the other day. He says girls are promised. Oh, you know, I had a guy come to me when I was about 14 or 15 telling me, and you know, I'm quite old, right? So this would have been when? When was I 14 or 15? Can anyone tell me? I can't even remember. So I got married in 1973 and I was 19. So it was late 60s. This guy came to me. I was sitting outside where we lived near the road, and he came and he's a photographer, and he offered to photograph me in a costume. They started their nonsense in those days already. And I ran to my mom upstairs, and I actually innocently, I said to him, I just wait here, I'm coming back, I'm just going to ask my mother. So I ran upstairs, and when I came back, nowhere to be seen. So how do you think girls get involved and they get trapped in human trafficking, being enslaved? Because they fall into traps, and those are the traps. This is the devil. This is the enemy, amen? And his cronies out there. So there's a story in the Word of God that I want to read to us. It's quite long. It's from 2 Samuel 13. But it's the story of King David's daughter Tamar and his son from another wife called Amnon, okay? So his other son, half-brother, half-sister. And this is what it says. Now, Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, son of Shimeah, David's brother. Jonadab was a very shrewd man. Here we need to learn who we need to hang out with. Very bad advice. He asked Amnon, why do you, the king's son, look so haggard morning after morning? Won't you tell me? Amnon said to him, I'm in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. So this is the advice given by Jonadab. Go to bed and pretend to be ill, Jonadab said. When your father comes to see you, say to him, I would like my sister Tamar to come and give me something to eat. Let her prepare the food in my sight so I may watch her and then eat it from her hand. Now that, you know what? Let me just stop there. It sounds very innocent. Even King David, who's a man after God's own heart, did not discern this was actually a trap that was being set for his daughter by his evil son. Because it was in the name of goodness. It was in the name of kindness. In the name of kindness, you could have a trap set for you. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food here into my bedroom so I may eat from your hand. But when she took it to him to eat, he grabbed her and said, come to bed with me, my sister. Don't, my brother, she said to him, don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. In other words, such a thing should not be done in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. Don't do this wicked thing. What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You would be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. Please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you. But he refused to listen to her. And since he was stronger than she, he raped her. Then Amnon hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. Amnon said to her, get up and get out. Now, I know how deeply wounded people have been when they have been violated. And perhaps this wasn't a trap that you stepped into, but just merely being in the wrong place at the wrong time, very innocently. I don't mean to upset you tonight. All I'm doing as a warning to you is to say, never again. Amen? Never again. Don't, in the name even of goodness, don't do things by yourself. Had she taken her servants and her handmaidens with her, maybe you can actually read between the lines of how this trap could have been avoided. But you know what? Our Father wants us to have discernment, and God, even when something appears to be innocent, be very, very careful. Traps can also rip us off financially. You know, you put deposits down on a warehouse, and the next thing, that warehouse is like non-existent, or it's like being closed, it's being sold, or whatever. So many people have shared with Pastor Andre and I about things, traps that they've walked into. Do due diligence, find help, get more people on board. Don't sign anything until you've checked something out. Now, on this road that you're walking with the Lord, your everyday life, your everyday walk, these things appear. And they're there to throw us off our course. You know, if you are violated or if you've been ripped off, you will be discouraged. You may not even come to church the following week or the whole month because you're so upset. That is what I'm trying to point to you tonight, is to be vigilant, keep your eye on the road, keep your eyes on Jesus, make sure you get help, make sure no one rips you off. You know, in Psalm 31 verse 4, it's not in your notes, but David prays and he says, free me from hidden traps. I think that when you're in business or when you're in a situation where you know you can have a trap set for you, pray this prayer daily. Say, free me from hidden traps, like King David prayed. Free me, Lord, from hidden traps. Number three, the light helps me to keep my eyes open for God. You see, because sometimes we cannot see God in our trials and difficulties. Psalm 105 says, keep your eyes open for God. Watch for his works. Be alert for signs of his presence. You know, how often we may have asked, Lord, when that and that happened, where were you? Where were you, Lord? How is it possible this even happened to me? I didn't see this coming. But I want to say to you, God was there. He promises he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. So he was there. You know, when our grandson, Shannon, drowned at the age of 3, he would have been 20 this year in December, I was completely devastated. He was our oldest grandson. He was the cutest boy, used to walk on his toes, and he was just adorable. But you know what? This was my cry. Where were you, Lord? Where were you? And, you know, I had to learn to look for God, open my eyes and see him on the journey, and find him in the situation and try and make sense of it. Can I just say, there are things on this side of eternity that we won't know, but we need to know him who holds eternity. Amen? And so, you know, the Holy Spirit comforted me, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's part of what he does. He's a comforter. And his word directed me to answers, and I want to share those with you. Two of them are in your notes, but the third one, I'm going to give it to you. You can just jot it in. If you're going through a situation where you're asking that very question, someone young dies or someone who died too young, here's a very good verse for you. I discovered it at this time. Isaiah 57 verses 1 to 2, it says, good people pass away. The godly often die before their time, but no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. You see, there are things that we won't understand. Deuteronomy 29 verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. There are secret things we've got to make sure we make our peace with, the secret things of God. People know the Lord, serve the Lord, good people, do great things, hearts of compassion, bad things happen to good people. Amen. And Pastor Andre recently preached about unfortunate things happen to fortunate people, right? So this is what you do. You keep your eyes open for the Lord in your trial. You continue to navigate truth through your trials. Lord, this is your earth. I'm your child. I'm made in your image. You have all things under control, and you know all things. This doesn't make any kind of sense, but I'm going to remain on the path. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm going to look for you. Answers will come. And you know, the Lord will settle your heart. Just keep trusting him. And you know, you get through it. Can I just tell you, you do get through it. You do get through it. Here's a beautiful psalm in the Message Bible. Psalm 34, verse 17 and 18. This helped me last year through the most terrible trial that Pastor Andre and I went through. It says, is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you kicked in the gut, anyone feel kicked in the gut? He'll help you catch your breath. What a beautiful promise our Lord has given us. Amen. He's there. He was always there. He understands. He cries with you. He mourns with you. He sees your pain. But you know what? Heaven is not, this earth is not heaven. Heaven is not here. Heaven is there. There are things in our future, in eternity, that will make sense only then. Amen. And then number four, God is looking out for our well-being and to lighten our load. Oh, you know, the Lord is not giving us 600 rules, but the Pharisees did that. They took the 10 commandments that was given that the Lord knows we can't keep, 10. But they took 600 and added it to this 10 and made it so difficult for people, put heavy religious burdens on people. And that is why when Jesus came, he said in Matthew 11, 28, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You know, the old translation said, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Walk with me in your notes and work with me. Verse 29, just in case we think grace is doing nothing. Oh, you know, it's by the grace. I'm still in bed, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's by the grace. Everyone else is charging out to work and put food on the table, but it's by his grace. No, no, no. Listen to what Jesus says. Walk with me, work with me. Amen? Not that our works will get us salvation, but there are works that were prepared for us before the foundation of the earth, and we had better walk in those works and make sure that they are done. Amen? There are works to be done. Jesus came and he did stuff on the earth that changed the world, that changed people, that raised the dead, that fed hungry people. Amen? So, walk with him and work with him. And then keep your eyes on the road and not your feet. On this journey, keep your eyes on the road, not your feet. And as I thought about that, I thought to myself that our feet can discourage us because our feet points to our weaknesses sometimes. Sometimes we've walked in places we shouldn't have gone. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. How did I end up? Why did I say yes? Oh, it was awful. It was a terrible movie. Oh! But you're walking with the Lord. Hallelujah. Out you come from the movie house. Lord, light up my Bible. I'm continuing this path. I'm not going to be put off by anything. And I'm not going to, because you don't condemn me. You forgive me. You don't condemn me. You know, our feet are not always very pretty. And I don't mean because we've got chipped toenails or we haven't manicured or pedicured ourselves, but it's kind of dirty, dusty, and stinky, isn't it? And then we reminded, Lord, that you washed the disciples' feet. And it also means that you accept us as we are. You know that we are but dust. You know that we have weaknesses. And but your lamp does bring light to the dirty parts of our feet. But you love us anyway, not to condemn us, not to drag us down, but to make us aware of how far along the path we've come and how much further we still have to go. Amen? But you accept us anyway. Or else, my feet points to my efforts and my works. One is as bad as the other. Oh, you know, I go to very important places with my feet. I go and see so-and-so and so-and-so, name drop. And you know, I've worked my way up in this company and the CEOs and, you know. No. It cannot be pointing to our works and to our efforts. And it cannot be pointing to our weaknesses and the things that we get wrong all the time. Let's not make it about our feet, but let's make it about the lamp that lights our path. Let's make it about the road that seems long. But you know what? We had a memorial service this morning. Was it this morning or was it yesterday? Yesterday, forgive me. Very busy week. Of a lady that from our church had went to be with the Lord, you know? And the reality is that we think the road is long, and sometimes it feels like a never-ending road, but the road comes to an end, and then we depart from this to the hard work and the labor, the fruit of our labor, the continuation of just walking with that lamp and allowing the light to light our way and stepping one day straight from this road onto the streets of gold. Amen? Into the presence of God. Amen. So, let's do our action quickly. I'm grateful for the wisdom that is found in the Word and for learning about respect, honesty, love, and integrity. All there on the screen. And to love what God loves and so much more. You know what you learn when you're into the Word of God? You learn to love what God loves. And you know the thing that God loves the most? Well, we know He loves His Son, but He loves the lost, and He loves His church. And that is why we must be careful that we don't miss out. And we're not people who don't love the Son, who don't love the lost, and who don't love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, thank you that you want to help me navigate the journey and reach the desired destination. And I pray that you are encouraged this evening to dig into the Word of God. Amen? Speak it out loud. Read it out loud in your quiet time. Just fill your room with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, or words of a psalmist, or whoever, King Solomon, no, doesn't matter. It's all inspired by God and the Holy Spirit. Bring life into your home. Bring life into your room. Bring life into your marriage. Bring life into your family. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.